The Cup Finals heading back to Boston, Game 7 Wednesday night. Here is a former Bruin, former Maple Leaf, doing work down there in Boston. Andrew Raycroft back on Overdrive. What's happening, Andrew?
Hey, fellas. Everything's great. How are we doing up there?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well, man. The Raptors are in the NBA Finals.
Ready for the Raptors?
Yeah.
And we're trying to get a parade for ourselves up here, Razor.
You got to find your way onto one of those floats if they pull it off. No, you and Kawhi?
I do not think that will happen, brother. You know that. I will try, though.
I wouldn't say they would ever get bored down in Boston, but is it just kind of routine now, these parades?
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, because like if the Bruins win on Wednesday night, that's the Red Sox, the Patriots, and the Bruins that have all won their most recent title. It's disgusting, really.
Yeah, it's like the first time since the 30s or some crazy stuff like that. So, you know, it's definitely not old hat. You know, the Bruins fans, a different clientele. But certainly it's not, I would say it's not the same fever that the whole city has, you know, or the whole country has like in Toronto right now. But people are excited. I mean, Game 7 in your home building, that's never happened here. So that's, you guys were talking ticket prices. They're going through the roof here right now.
Is everyone on Team Tuca? Because it's fascinating to be in a different market and watch some of the Twitter chatter, even throughout the regular season and into the playoffs, coming out of Boston, where people are like, nah, you know what, let's start Halak, let's do this and that. And, you know, Tuca's won some big games so far, but I think he's been fantastic throughout the playoffs, and I think he's been great in the finals. Has everyone come around on him, or there's still the haters that will just always not like Tuca?
So I think, like you said, he's fantastic. He's been their best player, and he's changed the narrative, no question, from, you know, the Toronto series, you know, questioning if he was good enough or better than Anderson, to now he's been their best player. He's got to win still. I think if they find a way to not win tomorrow night, he'll still get a label from a large, not a majority, but a large portion of the fan base here that'll say he just can't win the big game. And, you know, that will certainly go away with a Game 7 win in the Stanley Cup Finals, and he'll be able to put that to bed like he has for most of the playoffs, the narrative of him not being able to win.
Razor, how big of a factor is the big boy factor? I think in a bunch of the series that they played, it's, you know, they've had their moments where they don't contribute, whether it's Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, Chara, Tuukka Rask, but when it really counts, they seem to get it done, and that was the case last night. That's got to be a major factor for them going into Game 7, saying, okay, whether it be Carolina series, Columbus, whatever, they showed up where it counts, and they get the job done.
They have, and you know, the stat of the playoff is Brad Marchand scoring. The Bruins are 25-1 in his career. You know, they lost in game, you know, in 2012, the Washington was the one game they lost when he did score. So, that goes to the point. And you got, you know, it was a carbon copy of game 6 against the Leafs. You know, they went out and Marchand, you know, got a couple points. Bergeron gets his couple points and they come back to Toronto. So it's all about the big boys here. The third line's done a great job contributing and at times, you know, bringing them along, but, you know, come tomorrow night, those guys, Krejci, the second line with Kuhlman now on it, those guys have to produce for the Bruins to win, no question.
With Andrew Raycroft, analyst with the Boston Bruins, looking back on last night where the Bruins got past the Blues, forcing a Game 7 Wednesday night down in Boston. You know, it was an interesting, I think this whole series has been really physical. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's kind of had a throwback vibe to it. There's been a couple of greasy moments. You know, I thought the Marchand hit on Pietrangelo was a bit greasy last night. Yeah. Bortuzzo knew exactly where to draw the line right at the end of the game.
There's actually been a lot of greasy plays where you're like, God, that could go either way.
Who did Bortuzzo get a little pop to? It was Achari.
I think it was Achari.
Yeah.
And he roped him in, and then he just said, "Yeah, I'll give you a punch. I know I'm not going to get suspended."
Punch in the chin. Yeah, it was a pretty
was
solid
a good hit.
Shot. Though.
It was a good punch.
Yeah, he corked him pretty good. Right?
Yeah. But like Marchand didn't get suspended for his punch to the back of the head. So Bortuzzo, he knows. He's like, I'm not going to get suspended. What do I care if you kick me out?
Yeah,
but what's been fascinating for us is tracking Zdeno Chara and what's been going on with him. And, you know, he didn't look any different to me last night. He was fine with getting into a scrum and using a stick and punching people if he had to. And he got popped at one point, And he looked like he was complaining to the official, which I thought was quite rich. But for the most part, man, I got to give it up to him. I mean, he's an absolute legend. And it's kind of been amazing to me that he can play the way he played last night with a broken jaw at 42 years old.
It is incredible. And, yeah, he did get popped pretty good. I think it was Sanford that got him. He's a beast. Yeah, I mean, he's a freak. All of those kinds of words and to describe him are true. He's just an absolute phenomenon. And for him to be, like you said, at 42 doing this, and still have the will and the mentality to go out there and be that kind of guy is he's certainly the leader in the room here. He's the guys follow him, and obviously a guy willing to play with a smashed up face this time of year as a 42-year-old is a pretty good guy to be leading into a game 7.
Razor, tomorrow night is the ultimate King Daddy Topper night. Do they get Tom Brady out to wave the flag, or is it you, or who does it?
They have not reached out to me yet. I think they're waiting for Brady. But that's just as much being scrutinized just as much as anything else about the game.
It's got to be Brady, right? I mean,
I think they want Brady, but the word is that he's already taken his private jet back to the island.
What island?
He goes to like Puerto Rico or Costa Rica, or I know
probably owns an island. A close number two Razor on Wednesday night will be Rennie Rancourt. Do you think he shows?
That will
you
drive
get that whole run those out there.
I would snap.
No, I'm telling you, he comes out. He doesn't sing the anthem because the new guy does a fantastic job. But
Razor, hang on a sec. If it was you calling it, would you get that old Romnose out there to sing the anthem, or would you leave it with the other guy?
Not in a million years do I want to see Renee fist bump out there. The new guy's taken over. You know, Renee ran its course.
Yeah, you had your time. Step aside, Renee Rancourt. Yeah. You know he's trying to get in there.
Play. Boy, yeah, the young guys play.
Yeah, it's a new era down in Boston. Leave us alone, please. Anyway.
All right, Razor, thanks for doing this. Say hi to that hook-nosed Fergie for me if you get a chance.
All right, guys, thanks for having me.
There he is, Andrew Raycroft. He's got a message to send on behalf of Overdrive.